When I was a brand new birder in 1975, I treasured my field guides, but I wanted to study actual birds more than pictures. I spent as much time as I could outside looking at living, breathing birds, but whenever Russ and I went to Chicago, I also spent an hour or two at the Field Museum of Natural History, scrutinizing the displays. It never occurred to me that maybe I could talk to someone who worked there and see specimens that weren't on public exhibit. I was way too shy to imagine that. It was only later that I started meeting museum people at scientific meetings, and as it turns out, I would have been more than welcomed in the actual collection area. I spent so many years of my life desperately trying to keep injured birds alive when I was a rehabber that many people are surprised to learn how strongly I support museum work. But what we learned about eggshell thinning due to DDT in the 60s came from a museum study by Joseph Hickey. Analyzing feathers from loons collected in different places and different times is telling us about the growing levels of mercury in various aquatic environments. During the huge great gray owl invasion of 2004-05, a large number of these magnificent birds were found dead or dying. The Field Museum salvaged the carcasses and did necropsies to analyze stomach contents and determine causes of death. Some people think that museums have had their day and now we have much more important work to do in conservation. But that's utterly untrue. What kind of new information can still be gained from museum specimens? Here's just one example. Last month, I brought the mangled carcass of a dead ivory gull found in Superior to Nathan Goldberg, who's associated with the Field Museum. This week, Joshua Engel of the museum posted information about that specimen with great photos on the museum blog. Some of the most interesting points in his fascinating post: both lice and mites were retrieved from the specimen, and it's possible that some of those parasites may represent species never before described. The very first ivory gull louse ever collected and described for science was way back in 1780. The salvageable parts of this skull that will make it into a museum drawer include one spread wing, the head feathering, and some additional feathers. A search of a database of museum bird collections indicates that the tissue sample may be only the second one in any museum collection anywhere. It will provide DNA information. The specimen will also provide information about mercury loads, an especially important issue. Ivory gulls are classified as near threatened by BirdLife International because they have declined dramatically, as much as 80% in Canada over the past 30 years. Tests on museum feather samples of ivory gulls indicate that mercury in the species has increased 45-fold in the past 130 years. I am thrilled about having given the specimen to the Field Museum for many reasons, particularly because of my affection for the institution, my joy at contributing to science, and my fascination with avian parasites. I am, after all, the person who sent a tapeworm from a nighthawk to Dave Barry. As sad as I am that this poor gull died, I'm very happy that its poor mangled body is providing important information for science that may ultimately help other ivory gulls. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.